This is the fourth message from Sermon on the Mountain of Olives, and speaks about Jesus' teaching on his coming back and the end. Okay, and the title of the message for today is "Where is the promise of his coming?" Where is the promise of his coming? What does it sound like? It's a question, where is the promise of his coming? But it is a question that kind of scoffs at somebody. Right? You said that, you promised that, and what's going on? Right? That's basically what's going on. A question that scoffs or mocks at someone, mocking someone. What kind of person are you? Look at you, it's really kind of like attacking, mocking the character or the person himself, isn't it? That's the title of the sermon, Where is the Promise of His Coming? However, the one who promised this word is Jesus himself. Now think about that tension. Think about that tension. He's the one who is being questioned and scoffed and mocked. And you would say, who would do that? In fact, throughout history, it never stops, and people still mock at God. How about you? Do you believe it? Last week, we left off with Jesus' loving and yet stern exhortation, warning about this whole topic. Therefore, you must be ready. Therefore, you must be ready. It's a must category, right? You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Jesus himself and or Christianity speaks about the end. Do you think about it? Do you have any idea? Or do you just kind of leave it hanging? It's up to you, but Jesus and or Christianity and the Bible clearly and repeatedly speaks about the end, which will be by his coming, historic coming, just as you have a birthday. Someone's birthday recently. Anyway, okay. Yeah, there's always people, you know, there's birthdays. Jesus' coming was historic, and his second coming will be historic. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a religious kind of jargon. It's not a, pie in the sky. But it's going to be historic. Okay, who's coming back to judge the living and the dead? And let me state it again, what Jesus said. The end is coming, and he's coming back. And he's coming back soon. Okay, so when is it going to be then? Like, if he's coming back, when is it going to be? And that's precisely the question that disciples asked in Matthew 24 in front of the magnificent architecture of Jerusalem temple. You have to picture this. I've been there years ago, Jerusalem, and I saw Jerusalem temple, which is no longer Jewish temple. It's occupied by Muslims. Okay, those of you know the history. And yet still looks very impressive and magnificent. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago, a building like this architecture looked like this, and it is made up of incredibly expensive materials, and it signified to people, Lord is here, God is in this place. And in front of the building, and disciples were asked him, look at this building, Lord. What do you think? And very surprisingly, unexpectedly, Jesus said, this temple will be utterly and completely destroyed. Not even one stone on top of a stone. In other words, he predicted or prophesied the historic destruction of Jerusalem and Israel, nation of Israel. And you know what happened? 35 years later, it was completely, nation was wiped out. 1 million people were massacred by Titus and the Roman army, and another 1 million people were taken as captives to Rome as slaves. Historically, people. Do you know historically Rome fell after 1,000 years? United States of America is a baby. 1,000 years. Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years. They thought it will never end. But it crumbled down. Greek Empire, Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, Medo-Persian Empire. Every kingdom come and fell. And Jesus predicted historic destruction of Israel and Jerusalem, and it was fulfilled only 35 years later. And basically what Jesus is doing is, through that, through the lens of what would happen in the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, you could see what is coming. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. And I explained this before. It's like a movie preview or trailer. You know, I like to look at like movie trailers, right? 3-4 minutes, that's all we could handle, human beings, you know? And then we look at it and we see this incredible sight and kind of picture what it would look like. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. Okay? So Jesus was about to go to the cross. Now you have to feel it. He's ready to go to the cross and die in a matter of a few hours. And he's telling his loving disciples, you must be ready. And people don't listen. They just scoff. They just laugh at people. His too stern and loving exhortation is, therefore, you must stay awake, gregope, with me. Right? Taking up your cross and follow me. And the second exhortation is, you must be ready. Now, would you just look at me? Let's pause, and when you consider this teaching and saying of Jesus Christ, I come to a conclusion whether all these teaching is a complete lie and fairy tale, scam, not worthy of trust, garbage, or it's the truth you must put and give all of you. It's one or the other. Am I asking too much? I hope you're listening. It's either completely garbage, but if it is true, you must give it all. In fact, Jesus gave it all. He put his name on it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He put everything on it. In other words, Christianity is a garbage if this doesn't happen. Christianity is such a scam of historic scale if this is not true. So here's my question to you. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Now that you hear it, where do you stand? Am I making you sleepy? Where do you stand, people? Well, who cares? You know, let me take care of my real issues of life. Job. And I'm so mad at my boss. He's a jerk. Old bosses are jerks, right? Yeah. Baby. Oh, you know, I have to. My baby. Or health. House. Leave me alone. Let me enjoy my life. Given into eating, drinking, marrying, and given into marriage. Are you listening? Where do you stand? I'm really asking this question after 4 weeks of study on this topic. And next 4 weeks, Jesus, after he finished the teaching part, didactic part, and he gives 4 parables. Actually, it's 5 parables, but I decided to just use 4. 4 parables of coming back of Christ. And how it will be like when he returns. What would actually happen when Christ returns? What's he going to see? What are you going to be doing? He's giving you a preview, movie preview. And you're going to be in it. Okay? The first parable is what we're going to be dealing with today. The parable of the faithful and wise servant. listen carefully, faithful and wise servant. And then he speaks about wicked and foolish servant. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. You know, if it is faithful and wise, it should be unfaithful and foolish. But it is faithful and wise. In other words, faithfulness in the sight of God. By the way, he sees your faithfulness. And the opposite of faithfulness is wickedness. He sees your wickedness or faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are you like chaff? Just whatever. Whatever. Are you faithful, people? Are you faithful? You are wise. Or else you are wicked and and foolish. The second parable that we'll be dealing with next week, Lord willing, is the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay? It's going to be 5 wise and 5 foolish ones. There's going to be foolish ones. I hope it's not you. And the week after, it's going to be the parable of talents. And then the week after, Lord willing, and this is one of my favorite, is the parable of the sheep and the goats. When he returns, he's going to gather all the nations in front of him, and he's going to separate. He's going to separate sheep and the goats. Remember the word separation, the root word is judgment. That's what judgment is. Okay, so that's the plan. And today we'll be looking at the first one, the parable of the faithful and wise servant, or wicked and foolish servant. Are you faithful or are you unfaithful? Okay, let's look at the parable. It's only made up of 7 verses, but I started from verse 44 because Jesus's like immediate exhortation is, therefore, you must be ready. You must be ready, and you're not listening. Right? You must be ready, for Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Sounds like an accident. Accidents never tell you when it is coming. Nobody drove to Hicksville today thinking that I'll get into an accident today. Nobody thinks that. But that's what Jesus is saying. And here's the parable immediately following that exhortation. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his house to give them their food at the proper time? Okay? So the parable of the master and a servant, and he explains the good servant, faithful servant, in verse 45, 46, 47, 3 verses. Okay? And then 48, 9, 50, and 51, it'll be the wicked servant. Very simple parable. And Jesus' parable is usually very simple. And the parable is not meant to create entire theology out of it, but major point from it. You have to listen to the major point, and I hope you pay attention. So, faithful and wise servant. Master set over, appoint his household and trust his property. And we got to remember that if you are a Christian. Okay? And what's the task? What's the calling? What's the job? Give their household members food at the proper time. Do you think that's, wow, that's such a complicated job? Man, you know, how is he going to handle this job? Doesn't sound like that, right? It's a simple job that he has entrusted to his servant. Right? Simple job. And then, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he returns. In the Bible, there are parables look like this, and master always entrusts, and then he goes away. But he always returns, though. Did you ever see a parable that he doesn't return? Jesus promised that he will return. And all his parables saying the master does return, and the good and faithful servant, faithful and wise servant, is the servant whom the master will find so doing. Doing what? Give food to his household at proper time. Not very difficult thing, right? When he comes. And truly, I say to you, I'm going to set him or appoint him over all his possession. That sounds like a promise. And the title of the sermon is, Where is your promise of his return? Okay? So that's the faithful and wise servant. And the other servant, he kind of switches over, jumps over to the wicked servant. Okay, here's the wicked servant that he described. But if that wicked servant speaks to himself, my master is delayed, meaning there is no master, meaning that I am the master. So using up his entrusted treasures for himself. You are the master of your life, right? And he begins to beat his fellow servants, eats and drinks with drunkards, becomes violent and reckless in life. And the master of the servant will return, will come. He always does, people. Will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know. And then very difficult verse 51. What is he going to do? What is he promised to do? And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. And in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is the word of Jesus. Okay? So, here's the parable, two types of servants. Jesus gives, first explains the faithful and wise servant. Verse 45, 6, 7, three verses. He described the wicked and unfaithful servant, fully servant, 48, 9, 50, and 51. It seems to me Jesus wants to really describe the latter servant, right? So the faithful and wise servant, who and what is he like? Very simple. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has appointed his household to that servant? And the job that was given to him is just giving the food to the household members at a proper time. Not very difficult, do you notice? It's not something that he cannot manage. Unfair task that has been given. But it's a very, I think it's a simple, fair task that has been given to the servant. And then he explains, blessed is that servant when his master will find so doing. That's all he's looking for. So doing when he returns. So apparently the master appointed and trusted his household to you, to the servants. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you're a Christian, that's what it means to be a Christian, right? It's his property entrusted to you. Right? So he carries the job task faithfully when the master is away as if he's still here. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, stay awake with me. Christian life is walking with Jesus. Christ lives in me. So that's the kind of thing that he's describing. And the master returns, and hopefully he will find you doing what he has entrusted to you and the job that has been given to you. Okay, that's it. So we go to the jump to the wicked servant, which I think he wants to describe. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, party begins. How many of you manage someone and when the master, your boss, is not looking, wow. I remember when I had a dental practice years ago. And I went on a mission trip. Just thought of this. And I asked a sister who was working for me as a receptionist, I'm going to be away for 2 weeks. Please, you know, you take some time off, but stay here and take care of the office. Okay? So I went on a mission trip, plenty of mission trips like that. And I came back, everything was fine. But I only found out that she decided to take a vacation on herself without me knowing, and she was away for a whole week. And I found out. Somehow I found out. Guess what happened? I was really angry. And really, really upsetting. I go out on a missions trip, trusting this person, and then, you know, it just felt so betrayed. That's so wrong, right? And that's exactly what I am reminded of here. The master trusts his servant and trusting his household to him to take care of it. And this servant thinking, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, getting violent and getting crazy, reckless. But the verse 50 says, and he returns. Master of the servant will return on a day when he does not expect, at an hour he does not know. That's the point that he's trying to make. And then he's going to punish him, right? That's what's happening here. You know, master will return, people. Master will return. His name is hanging on it. Whole Christianity hangs on it. You could just chuck it. Don't even bother with Christianity if that's not right. Because he said it. Without his return and the judgment, cross is meaningless. Really is. It really is. Because that's the judgment he took on your behalf. The final judgment. My master is delayed. Just as people say and sense about the return of Christ. Right? It is delayed for the last 2,000 years. And delay can breed bad behaviors. Your boss is not around. Right? Parents are not around. Nobody is in charge. The master is not here. I am the master, basically. And you live that kind of life. And at this point, I want to take all of you to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I hope in your Bible study, you look into this chapter. I love this chapter. And it was about this controversy. People, there were a lot of scoffers in the New Testament time. Because Christ said he's coming back soon, but he wouldn't come back like right away. So there were a lot of people who are scoffing at the teaching of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, and Jesus himself. Where is this coming? Right? I love this chapter. We used to do ministry called Light of Love Ministry, and this is the message that I always deliver on the final day, that he's returning. He's coming back. Let me read it to you, okay? Knowing this, first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days, and scoffing, following their own sinful desires. That's an intriguing statement. And they will say, where is the promises coming? You're saying Jesus is coming back. Where is it? It's been 50 years. Verse 4 says, ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Look, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Where is this coming? And then verse 5 says, listen to this. For they deliberately overlooked this fact. Oh. You know what? It's not that they don't hear it, but they deliberately, you don't want to hear it. Can I just tell you? Scripture and God is above us. He knows exactly why you are denying it, scoffing it. Do you follow me? He's beyond us. He's way above us. They deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens exist long ago and the earth was formed out of water, through water, but by the word of God, that by means of these, the world that existed deluged or flooded with water and perished. What he's saying is, Peter is saying is this. Basically, earth is formed out of water through water. The incredible content of the earth is water. And it was created like that by the word of God. Isn't it interesting though? The flood and the destruction and judgment was through the water. Everything is water, but you are drowned in water. Do you catch it? And they perished. But by the same word, the heaven and earth that now exist are stored up for fire. The final judgment is not the water, it's going to be fire. Scripture speaks that. Okay. Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So the scoffers were there in first century. Scoffers are there now. Scoffers were there in 16th century during Reformation. Scoffers are there in Korea. Scoffers are there in New York. Scoffers are there even in churches. Where is this coming? This is what the cults talk about. Why is Pastor Paul talking about this? Why is the New Arch focusing on this? I'm not focusing on anything. I'm just explaining what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. Do you realize the person who is speaking this is not the cult, but it's Jesus himself? Now be sober and listen to this. Scoffers and mockers will rise and scoff. Coming of Christ, and here's the intriguing thing. Where is the promise of his coming? But the reason is because they deliberately overlook this fact. The scoffers deliberately. It's something you deliberately do. The word deliberately is theleo, which means to will, willfully, to wish deeply, epithumia. You don't want that to happen. That's why you're deliberately denying it. That's ridiculous. You know why? Deep inside, you're willfully rejecting it. And God sees that. God is not our level. You know that, right? God is much wiser than us. God doesn't see superficially. God sees us. God sees why you are denying it, why you are laughing at it, why you are scoffing at it. To overlook, to admit it. You know why you fail to deliberately admit that this is the truth? Because you willfully reject it. Why would you do that? Scripture explains that. Why would you do that? In other words, you have another reason why you are deliberately and willfully rejecting it. And the answer is 3B. Oh, it's not here. The reason is the scoffers scoffing, following their own sinful desires. You're following your own sinful desires instead of Spirit of God. Sounds like unregenerated person. Loving the world. That's why you're giving all these reasons. Scripture sees that. You know why you are deliberately rejecting? You know why you're scoffing? You know why you are ignoring it? Because your sinful desire, you're following that. Epithumia. Sinful epithumia. That's a powerful desire in you. You love the world. Things. So scoffing is being deliberately unwilling to admit and recognize because your heart desire, epithumia, is for the world. And Bible calls you a fool. You're not wise, you're a fool. Isn't it interesting in the Old Testament, you repeatedly say, fool says in his heart that there is no God. It's not that there is no God. But fool says in his heart that there is no God. Okay? Peter continues. Peter's explanation continues. Bible explains who God is. Okay? Verse 8 says, but do not overlook this fact, beloved. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. I love this statement. You know God? God is transcendent and eternal. God is not us. We're like flowers, the Bible says, or mist. Do you realize that? But God is not like that. For God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. He's transcendent. He is transcendent of time and space. He's not us. He's not limited like that, finite like that. God is eternal. God is transcendent. You know why you're acting foolish? People are acting foolish? Because you do not know God. Okay, and then he continues. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow. Do you know he's not slow? He created the light. Light is really fast, and he created it. He's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, the one who are scoffing at him. He's patient towards you. These verses humbles me, people. We scoff at him. Can you imagine that? We're scoffing at God. We're mocking at God. What kind of character are you? And it's not he can't keep his promise. It's not he's slow to keep his promise. But he's patient, being patient with you. Do you realize that? Don't make no mistake about it. He's being patient with you. Why? He's patient towards you, not wishing. God's desire. Epithumia is that any should perish. He doesn't want you to perish. Why? I don't know. His love. But you don't deserve it. You act like a scoffer and mockers. Laugh at him. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all should reach repentance. That's who God is. And I ask you, how about you? Do you want that? The truth of the matter is, you don't even want that. You don't even care, right? Folks, can we be honest? Do you care? Do you care about this? Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Oh, God's incredible mercy toward undeserving sinners. And he's long-suffering and patient towards you. So difficult to be patient to one another, right? You get so frustrated, so angry. But the word of God says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heaven will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The earth, the works that done on it will be exposed. Your heart will be exposed. You will be exposed. You know why you're scoffing it? You know why you're deliberately rejecting it? You know why it'll be exposed? That's what the scripture says, but he's being patient with you right now. Would you repent? Seriously, people. Are you faithful? Or are you always complaining about church and ministry? Are you faithful? You know, 2 Peter chapter 3, I was thinking, do you think Peter was there in Matthew chapter 24 when he was preaching? He was there. He was there with folks. He was there when Jesus went to Calvary. He was there. Jesus, when he was resurrected, he was there. When he ascended, he was there. For the next 30 years, that Christianity, that little sect of Judaism, spreading like a bonfire in Roman Empire, he was there. He was there, people. What do you know? What do I know, people? He was there, and he's speaking to Christians. He's not slow, folks. Don't make mistake about that. He's not slow to keep his promise. He's not incapable of keeping his promise. He's just being patient with you. And you act like a fool. Like a little kid. You know, like when you raise a child, a kid makes a huge mistake and not willing to admit it. I'm not saying it. And we're like that, stubborn like that. The gospel of coming of Christ, right? And he continues, listen to this. Since these are true, what sort of people should you be? That's exactly why God wants gospel to be this way. What kind of person should you be? And he says, living a life of holiness. That's exactly why. Not telling you when he's coming back. Because you will live like a fool. My master is delayed. Party's on. I'm going to live up to 100 years old. So many fools. And they will face him as if they face an accident. Never saw it coming, right? What kind of person should you be, living the life of holiness? Waiting for hastening, quickening, by spreading the gospel. You would spread the gospel if you believe in this. The reason we don't, because you don't believe it. The coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heaven will be set on fire and dissolved, and heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, please listen, we are waiting. If you are a Christian, you'll be waiting. You will be waiting. You'll be waiting for new heaven and new earth, which the righteousness will dwell. This is the word of the Lord, people. Okay? Let me close by sharing this last thought. If you could just listen. You've been hearing this for 4 weeks in a row. And where do you stand? I'm really asking you, where do you stand? Where do you stand? God is asking you. Where do you stand, people? Where do you stand? Not where your wife stands. Not where your church stands. Where do you stand? Do you scoff at him? Do you talk as if, oh, it's not going to come back. You know, I give this illustration for Korean service. Let me give you an illustration. When I was in Korea, the country is divided between North and South. You know, North Korea and the regime and the potential war breaking out is always there for the last 50, 60, 70 years. So when I was there, I was always taught that it could happen anytime. But it didn't happen for the last 50, 60 years. I know that could happen anytime. The war could break out, nuclear war could break out anytime, but it never happened. Is Christ coming back like that? No, it's not like that. The big difference is this: people predicted, but the coming back of Christ, Jesus himself said that. His name is on the line. Whole Christianity is on the line. This parable is given and spoken by Jesus himself. It's his promise. Do you pay attention, people? It's his promise. Or are you like, let me go to the fellowship where the real church begins? He promised, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know. So when he comes, there are two possibilities that you will be like. Okay, listen. It's one of the two you're going to be. You may be saying to yourself, where is this coming? Oh, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Nothing happened for the last 2,000 years. At least not in my lifetime. And you're going to face him returning of the master as you would get into an accident. You never saw that coming. That's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to some of you. Or, when he returns, yet you've been living faithfully. You've been walking with him. You've been watchful with him. Yesterday, today, And hopefully tomorrow and for the rest of your life, you're just going to continue to walk with Him. Simple task. Walking with Him. Taking up your cross. And following Him. As if He's there. In fact, the truth was, He was there in me. I was always walking with Him. Can you imagine? You're always walking with Him, but the Christ will return. So it's going to be a surprise, but not. It's going to be okay. Do you catch it? But if you say He's delayed and He's not there, then it's a completely different story. Those who were loyal and faithful, Jesus promised, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he returns. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions to him." Promise. It's the promise. Do you scoff at promise or do you believe in promise? So many people scoff at promises. However, those who are scoffing and mocking his promise and him, the last two verses of the chapter. Can we look at this last two verses? The master of the servant will come. Master will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know. He's come back, and what is he going to do? Here's the promise. Here's the promise of Jesus. He's going to cut him in pieces. That's a difficult verse. But let me just lay it out to you. This is what Jesus said. Dichotomy. Bisect. That's a Greek word. He's going to cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites to Jesus' time? People who are religious, but there is no Jesus. Okay. And then he describes, in that place, to Jesus, hell is a place. In that place. And the Matthew description of hell, Jesus' own description of hell, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, this is a difficult verse. Not difficult to understand, but difficult to swallow. Jesus talked about the hell more than anybody in the scripture. It's not Paul, it's not John, it's not Peter, it's Jesus. You know why? Because he came to save you and I from hell. Because he came to rescue you and I from hell. That's why he talked about it. That's why we call him our Savior. Savior. Let me just close. To scoff and mock his promise is to scoff at his character. To scoff at his character is to scoff at the person. But it does not end there. It means you do not believe in the gospel. You do not believe in the word that he has spoken to you. Okay? Jesus, on his way to the cross, with all of his love, great love, he spoke to his disciples and he's speaking to you right now. And I want to share these words. My sheep listens to me and they follow me. Remember that? Jesus said that. My sheep listens to me and they follow me. And this is what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And I am coming back soon. Can we pray?